Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
On today's podcast, author Sarah Bennett joins me to discuss Christmas romance novels, and together we created a plot for a brand new story. My name is Justin Hamilton, and I'm all about the Colonel and Ms. Mangles here on Big Squid. Welcome to the final Big Squid podcast for season 6 and for 2022. I'm so glad to welcome Sarah Bennett back to the podcast for this chat. I've loved learning about the romance genre through her and also through you. There's a lot of fans out there, and I think that when we had Alice Fraser on talking about romance, I think we created a safe place, which normally, I think in the past when people would mention it, they'd kind of almost mention it in a way where they're a little bit embarrassed. And you don't need to be embarrassed about loving anything on this podcast. And I think more of you have become more comfortable with that, and you have reached out and you've shared lots of thoughts, and it's actually one of the most popular podcasts of the year. So I'm so glad that you've enjoyed it, and I was rapt to bring Sarah back in. I think you're going to really enjoy the plot for the imaginary novel that we come up with. I think it genuinely sounds like it could be great if we ever got around to writing it. Sarah's busy. I'm busy. But, you know, we can dream, right? Before we bring in Sarah, just a few quick notes. In 2023, I'll be returning to the Adelaide Fringe for the first time in 3 years. And my Big Squid listeners can score themselves a discount to my show by using the promo code PODCAST. So I'm only in town for a short amount of time, but I'd love to see you there. And I've already performed the show in Sydney and Melbourne, and I just really enjoy telling these stories. This is the most I've enjoyed stand-up, I reckon, in about 10 years. And this show feels very much a representation of where I'm at. So it's a pretty positive show, and it's a fun show, and it's not afraid to tackle some serious, topics and the context that they live in, but I kind of learn a lot about myself from this show, so I'm really loving it, and I can't wait to bring it to Adelaide. As I said, it's only 5 nights only at the Rhino Room. It's going to be a small run in a little room. I'm essentially coming back just so I can hang out and do the show with you. So head to comedy.com.au, click on my little victories tile, and make sure you use that promo code PODCAST. A reminder for Patreon subscribers, you have access to a super duper discount, so make certain you use your promo code. You can find that at the Patreon site. All subscribers to my Patreon have access to bonus podcasts, scripts, ad-free versions of this podcast, big discounts to live events, and more. If you'd like to join our community, head to patreon.com/JustinHamilton_BigSquid, and you can find a tier that suits you. And as I've said, all the money that goes into the Patreon gets funneled straight back into this podcast. So thank you to all my Patreon supporters, because you are essentially helping to produce this podcast. So it is very much appreciated. One of the other bonuses is everyone who signs up gets a podcast dedicated to them. And today's shout out goes to... I have to tell you that I looked up your name and to make sure I got the pronunciation correct, and they gave me five different options. So I'm going to take a guess that it is Keshia Atchison. Is that right? Keshia? I also had Keisha, but the way it's spelled, I'm leaning towards Keshia. So here you go. You're getting a shout out, and I might be, you know, messing up your name, but... Keshia, that's what I'm going to go with. Thank you for being a part of the Big Squid family. It is great to have you on board, and I hope you enjoy today's podcast. And look, it's a fun way to get into the Christmas spirit, and who knows, maybe Sarah and I will one day write this story. Maybe it'll be this big bestseller, and you'll be walking along with your friends going, I remember the podcast that he dedicated to me, and boy, did he get my name wrong. But I swear to God, I looked it up. I looked it up on a few YouTube sites. I'm going with Keshia. Fingers crossed, I nailed this. But thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Enough stewing over whether I'm getting names correct or incorrect. I'll be back at the end of this podcast to have a little wrap-up with you. But for now, let's bring in Sarah Bennett. One of my favorite podcasts for the year was with my next guest, and we had such a good time, we decided, well, let's do another one towards the end of the year, and we've hit that point. It is romance author Sarah Bennett returning to discuss not only romance novels, but we're getting quite festive, and we're going to talk about it from a Christmas perspective. And first of all, I have to ask you, are you naturally a Christmassy person, or what are your thoughts on Christmas?
Well, hello, and it's lovely to be back. Yeah, I guess I am. I do like Christmas. If I turned my camera, you'd see my enormous 7-foot Christmas tree. I don't know, I'm going to do that anyway. It won't be helpful for the people at home, but...
Oh, my Lord. That's lovely. That's a nice tree.
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah. Well, it's a big room, so it sort of fills the corner, yeah. So, it's always been something that I've enjoyed and I've appreciated. And I guess, you know, because I grew up and my dad was in the military, so sometimes he was away, and like my husband's been away previously when it's been Christmas and things like that. So when, you know, you can get together and you can kind of celebrate, then it's just something that we've always done and sort of got together as a family. Who doesn't like presents and sparkly things? That's me, really.
Oh, yeah. No, that, when you put it that way, that makes it incredibly enticing. The Mum and I were, I won't go into it because people have heard me on this podcast talk about it before, but Mum and I just... we're not necessarily people who celebrate Christmas, but I look forward to Christmas because we literally hang out, eat food and watch movies, and that's all we do. And that's quite a nice day as well. It doesn't matter how you sort of celebrate it, as long as you do something, right?
Yeah, I mean, and we're pretty relaxed. My mum's going to come to us for 2 or 3 days. She only lives up the road, but she comes and stays in the spare room, and because it's, you know, it's just a pain sort of trekking backwards and forwards, and you know, then you can have a glass of wine or two and nobody has to worry about driving or walking you home when it's cold and that. So she's going to come and spend a couple of days with us. And we'll just do the same thing. We'll watch some rubbish on the telly and relax, and my husband will go and hide in his study and be like, oh my God, don't you two ever stop talking.
Right. Right. There's all the beats that you hit for each Christmas, which I love.
Yeah.
Which also leads us into what we were going to talk about today, which was we're going to workshop a premise for the perfect Christmas romance story. Now, I know that you have one that is, you've got a Christmas novel that's just coming out or is just come out. Is that right?
My most recent book, it came out at the beginning of October. That's a Christmas book, and that was the last one in my Mermaid's Point series. And I don't know when this is going out, so this might not be right at the time, but I have posted a link in the in the Big Squid group.
Yes.
Because the little Christmas novella that I wrote last Christmas is currently free on Kindle worldwide. So I thought it would be a good accompaniment for to go with this podcast, so that if people are interested and they're in the group, that they could just sort of grab it and download it so that they could have a little look and get a feel for it if that was something they were interested in. But there's no obligation. And if you don't like it, then please don't tell me. That's my only proviso. You're very welcome to a free novella, but please don't tell me if it's not your cup of tea.
No, I'm sure everyone will be fine, but it is interesting that you say that, because sometimes the most critical people that I've ever had at my gigs are people that I've given free tickets to.
Yes.
And you go, wait a minute.
Yes.
You don't have to, you know, blow sunshine up my ass, but you also don't need to extract sunshine from my ass. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was talking actually the other day to a friend of mine, because I've got a book that's currently an audio book that's in the Audible Plus catalogue.
Yeah.
And those people that download from Audible Plus, they don't hold back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Sometimes it's the lack of investment allows them to just really let you know everything they want to share with you.
Absolutely, let you know how much they hated it and how rubbish it is.
No, thank you very much.
Thank God this was free.
Well, it's good that you put it in the private Facebook page, which anyone can join, but it's such a nice community. I think you'll be safe there. I think you've written five Christmas books in the past, is that correct?
Yeah. It's definitely a thing in the romance community. Romance readers seem to really, really love a festive book.
Yeah.
And I think mainly because it's about community, and it's about family, and it's about sort of drawing people together. So and they're normally, because when I've written books previously, they've been sort of seasonal series, so it's been over a period of a year.
Right.
So a sort of you know, the last book in the series, to have a Christmas book, it all sort of ties things together, and it's a really nice way to kind of bring everybody together and just create a really lovely atmosphere. So it's quite a challenge, actually, because you want to be original.
Yes.
But there's only so much you can do with Christmas, you know.
Right, right.
You don't want to keep repeating the same beats over and over again, but I think people like that that familiarity, and it's also it's quite a sort of closed environment, and you can kind of force the proximity of things, so it's a good way to kind of bring in some drama, because we've all had that, you know, we've all had a bit of family drama over Christmas.
Oh, man. Yes, we have.
Know, it's all, you know, the tensions are heightened, and you know, the booze is flowing, and you know, people that you don't necessarily, you've got things unresolved from the past and things like that, then it tends to be that it's a good way to kind of force a situation and get a resolution to something. And I think that people find that relatable, because they think, well, yeah, you know, we've all had those moments in our own sort of family lives and at Christmas time and things like that. So,
Sorry, go on.
No, you carry on. Sorry.
Oh, well, I'm curious. So, you know, the Christmas time, writing romance novels for that holiday time. Are there other holidays that are big in the romance genre? Like, is Easter something that is, like, it doesn't feel like it, but...
Not really, no. I think that Christmas is the main one.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe sort of where it's a bit more of a thing over in the States, I think Halloween is quite a thing sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
but really, it tends to be, you know, Christmas is the big one, really. It's the one that you can sort of market. And at this time of year, if you look in, certainly in the UK, if you look at the charts and things like that, and you look on Amazon, you know, they're packed full of, top 100 is packed full of romance books and things like that. I think it's like people want to sort of settle down and be cozy and be comfortable and have a bit of escapism and read something that's, you know, just sort of relaxing, really. I think that's we always tend to get a big boost at this time of the year, and people have a bit more time, don't they? They have a bit more downtime.
Yeah.
And so they think, well, yeah, you know, this is the time to catch up on all my reading and things like that. So
yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. What about New Year's Eve? That feels like it could be a
So I think if you do it, you tend to do it over the 2 week period.
Yeah.
Or you can do it. Some of my books have been sort of where it's a longer period. You do it in the run up to Christmas. So you do.
Right.
So then the Christmas is sort of the back end of the story, because you know you're sort of building up the relationship between, you know, the people that have met. And I mean, I know some people are amazing and they manage to do like a book in a day. You know, they manage to do like a, you know, a whole book is like, you know, like a 24-hour period and make right. it a really amazing, satisfying story. I need to dig in and explore and kind of find out what's going on with the characters. So but yeah, I mean, you can do that. The one that's just been out for me is 2 weeks.
Right.
But the couple have met before, so it's bringing them back together. And you've got that sort of you've got that 2 week period. So actually, yeah, New Year's Eve is a really nice way to kind of round it all off and yeah. have a big party or have a big event of some, you know, so that you've got loads of lovely kind of glittery things and descriptions and a big sort of party that kind of is a nice way to kind of, you know, really have a sort of go out with a bang, literally with the fireworks and everything else like that. So it's
yeah.
you want things that you can describe, that you can sort of draw people in, you know. So I think that's what sort of attracts people to it as well, that they can yeah. picture it. You can really go to town and really create something that's beautiful on the page that people can then kind of bring into their imagination and you know, feel like that it's something that they're doing. And as it's got more of a thing, you know, there's like lots of sort of big country houses around here. They do like sort of winter walks and things like that. So yeah. that's a great way for them, you know, because normally their revenue would be in the summer and doing events in the summer. And so a great way for them to bring people in is, and Christmas markets are being more of a thing now. That's yeah. sort of something we've exported. So they can do a bit of a Christmas market and a lovely kind of, you know, Christmas lights everywhere and walk through the woods and things like that. So, and those are brilliant settings and things like that. So it's great for me as an author that we're getting more and more of these different events that you could think, oh, that's a really nice thing that I could sort of build and bring into the story create a sort of a really attractive atmosphere, because that's what you're trying to do, really. So
yeah. And are there other aspects of the Christmas novel that that you have to bring in that just change it slightly to a normal romantic novel? Are there certain beats that you kind of need to have in there to classify it, apart from obviously the date and the setting?
I think that one thing I have learned is that, you know, even when you think you've got it's wall-to-wall Christmas, you can always find something else to cram in there. You can yeah. always stick another tree, another yeah. reindeer in. But I think part of it as well is it's more about generating that feeling of the season, that, you know, you want something that's about sort of, you know, not necessarily being religious, because that's not for everybody, but that sort of sense of community and welcome and warmth and opening your home to people, or maybe doing something that's sort of more altruistic, that's supporting the community, because, you know, that's what lots of people get involved in at this time of the year. We just had it this evening. We were literally just sitting down for dinner and then could hear all the Christmas music, and it's the local, I don't know if you have like the Lions Club, do you have that kind
oh,
of?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, so, but they come round with Santa's sleigh and they yeah. do a, you know, they sort of, and they spend, you know, the whole of December going all the way around all different places, you know, they're out night after night, and the local kind of army cadets were out with the buckets and things like that. So it's about, yeah. kind of doing something for other people and doing something for your community as well. That those are nice sort of, you know, it's about giving, isn't it? Because that's kind of part of the message of Christmas, isn't it? You know, I know we all like to receive things as well, but it's about being thoughtful, and it's about, you know, giving people something special, or you know, taking time out to take care of people, and to make sure that, you know, you're a bit more thoughtful about people this time of year, I think, maybe. And that's something that you like to bring into the story, that you want to kind of create that sense of, you know, of a warm community and generosity in people, and, you know, generosity of spirit. So
that's probably
that's what I try and focus on.
Yeah, that's probably the moment of like one of the really important parts of growing up, isn't it? Is the moment that you go from being possibly a child to a grown up, is Christmas becomes about other people. And sometimes that can, when you realize that someone in their late 20s, it's still all about them, you go, oh yeah, no, that explains a lot about you emotionally throughout the rest of the year.
you haven't learned the true message of Christmas yet, have you?
Yeah, not yet, but you'll get there.
Get there at some point.
One of the podcasts that I love listening to is Matt Bellany and the Town, which is he talks about Hollywood and behind the scenes stuff. And on one of his recent podcasts, he was talking about the hundreds of holiday movies that come out through Lifetime, Hallmark, Netflix is really cashing in now. Have you watched any of these? And if so, which are your favourites?
God, yes, I love them.
Yeah, great. Because it's a big industry. Yeah. They generate so many films.
Yeah.
But
I think they're great. I'm just an absolute sucker for them, because they're just easy.
Yeah.
They're just nice. And they look good, and they make you feel good. And I mean, I went off Netflix for a while, and then I realized it was because I'd watched a few kind of darker things,
right,
and the algorithm had kind of locked into that. So literally that was all it was feeding me.
Right.
It was just sending me, like, every recommendation it sent me was something dark and drama and horrible. And I was just like, God, this is awful. I don't want it.
Was this our fault? Was this Ben and my fault suggesting films? Was it? I'm seeing Elwood later today, so I can berate him for ruining your algorithm.
Blame Ben. I'm sure it was his fault.
Yeah. I know. I will blame him, and I can tell you here and now, he'd be like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's fine. We are joking, but he'll
really
take it seriously.
He's fine. No, I just got into watching. There were a few, I mean, and they were really good dramas, but they just, everything was dark and everything was depressing. And it just, and that's what it kept sort of sending me. And then I was just like, I don't want this anymore. So I just sat down and I really had to kind of hunt around and search and kind of look for things that I'd watched in the past. And then keep going through the, you know, more like this, more like this, more like this, and then filled up, you know, my saved list, and then watched a couple of things. And now my Netflix is just joy and sparkle and romance and happy. And I've just, but you just, it's really, you know, you can look at it and think, well, I don't know where this stuff is, but it feeds you what it thinks you want, and whatever you've been watching most recently, it's just going to keep sending you more and more of that. So I've retrained my algorithm, and now it's full of sparkle. So
That's part of the reason this podcast exists, is to make sure that my algorithm is working broadly, rather than, as you said, I don't need a hall of mirrors. I don't need to see me in every crook and cranny of the world. I want it to expand. I want to be having, you know, movies suggested that are of completely different genres and different vibes and stuff like that. So I can imagine you trying to retrain it was actually quite an effort.
It was. I had to really work on it. It took me about an hour to kind of really add stuff on my list before then it started giving me more push recommendations. But no, I've watched a few things. It's coming up with loads and loads of things. So then you're like, well, actually, no, there's masses of romance and there's masses of Christmas stuff, and there's loads of really fun things on there that is sort of hidden in the background, but I had to kind of dig for it a bit. But it seems to be a thing at the moment for kind of 90s stars are in there, you know, are having a comeback because Lindsay Lohan has just done. So there's one on there called Falling for Christmas, which is her. And it's basically, if you remember Overboard with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Yep.
Yeah,
it's basically that story,
right?
With 100% less gaslighting, which is a bonus because when you sit and think about that now,
right,
and you think about what he put her through, it's pretty grim. But at the time, we thought it was hilarious, didn't we? Because times were different then.
Yeah.
But it's basically it's in a wintry setting, so rather than falling overboard, she has a skiing accident, and that's what causes the amnesia. But I really enjoyed that. That was fun. And she's kind of really into it. And it reminds you actually that she's a really good actress, and she always was. What else have I watched? Single All the Way, which was great because the
great title.
You love a pun, don't we? And that's a real kind of fun family sort of comedy ensemble, but the central couple in it are gay, which is really nice. So that's one of the things that I've talked about last time about how romance is much more inclusive and working really hard. So that's really nice to see, you know, exactly the same kind of story. But you've just got two guys as the main lead. And that's a perfect kind of small town romance because, you know, they both live in the big city. It's got all the great tropes because the guy wants to go back home for Christmas, but his family are kind of always going on at him about being single. So he gets his best friend to pretend to be his boyfriend.
Right.
You know, so we've got a lovely fake lovers trope, which is brilliant. We love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of like, you know, maybe they do really fancy each other, but then, you know, that's all the stakes of, are they going to risk their friendship? And it's got a great sort of comic cast. So the family dynamic is brilliant as well. And it's just fun. It's just, again, but it's more of a sort of, there's a proper rom-com.
Yeah.
Rather than maybe more of a Hallmark-y type romance. If you want a proper kind of Hallmark, what I would call a Hallmark romance, which is, you know, comes with extra cheese because I love it. And that I would say that as a compliment. I'm not saying that as a denigration. Yeah. I'm saying that because I love the cheese. Give me more cheese. That's what I want. So there's one called Christmas Inheritance. She's a socialite who is going to be inheriting her father's business, but he wants her to understand the value of everything. So he sends her off on a quest back to his hometown. And she's only got $100 and she's got to get through what's supposed to be one weekend with $100 and she's not allowed to use her credit cards. And then she gets snowed in.
Right.
So then it's kind of like, so then you've got the actually, you know, understanding. So that's a lot about community and how the community comes together and how she starts to think about other people and not just about herself. So like we were talking before about, you know, Christmas is about me and actually it's not about me. It's about everybody else. And so I enjoyed that. That's a lot of fun. And then there's Christmas Under Wraps. And that's, she's a female doctor and she ends up in a tiny town in Alaska and takes over the medical practice there. And they've been without a doctor for a while. So there's all sorts of quirky characters in the community. And that's got, because sometimes with a Christmas sort of book or a Christmas film, you can get away with that sort of magical element of it, you know, like when we were kids and, you know, did you believe in Santa and all the magic and everything. So this has got the, you know, there's an old guy who lives in the little town who happens to run a workshop that makes toys and, you know, he's got a big white beard.
Yeah, right.
And things happen around the workshop and, you know, so is he really, you know, who we think he might be or, you know, it's funny and it's sort of cheesy, but it's They make me feel good.
That's it. And that's what these movies do. And I don't think there's, certain types of movies have to hit certain types of beats. And this is what these movies are doing. Also, you've written Christmas novels. Is there one of yours that you think would be perfect for a movie? And I'm going to put you on the spot here. if you can pick one of them, who would be your perfect leads? Like, if you could pick anyone to be the leading man, woman, whoever.
Oh no, I don't do mystery casting. I don't. I try not to.
Really?
Actually, that's not true. But then I try not to tell people who I see, because everybody, although I put description in, I don't kind of layer it in every time you see them, because people can, you create your own image.
I'm not saying that they have to be, it's not going to be a direct adaptation. It's going to be an adaptation. So it's going to be, it's not going to contradict the book, but, you have to make changes once you turn it into a movie. I read the Jason Bourne books as a kid. Yeah. He's a middle-aged man, in the movies.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is Jack Reacher.
Yeah. He's much taller, much stockier, and
the guy on the Amazon Prime he's much more.
Yeah, what that's he's
Reacher.
Meant to be.
That is Reacher, So, who do I like? Well, the one that Happy Endings at Mermaid's Point.
Yeah.
You can tell it's the end of the season.
Yeah.
The end of the series as well. And that's over a 2-week period. I think that would work as a movie because of the trope, and it's got a fake dating thing on there. And he's a small town guy. And it's all back in his hometown. And she's a famous pop star.
Yeah.
Who's on the run from a scandal. So she's kind of using him as cover, because she knows him and they've dated before. So it's kind of like she's trying to use him and having a relationship with him as a way of deflecting the press. Only he's always been madly in love with her. So then it's like, well, he agrees to do it, but then it's like, he's got 2 weeks. Can he really convince her that, everything that she's looking for is actually it's there and he's the one, kind of thing. So I think that's a nice setup for you can see how that would work in a film, and you've got the sort of the two worlds colliding, and the fake romance that's in there, and they've also sort of got a bit of a past that they're coming to terms with and stuff like that as well. So I think my leading guy at the moment is probably somebody like, but then I think I'm, because of my age, I probably cast a bit older than characters generally are. So
That's all right. This is your hypothetical movie.
Who do I like at the moment? Rupert Penry-Jones.
Oh, yeah, I do know him. Mm. He is a very handsome and good actor. And I was I was devastated he was in Spooks. And that was where I first came across him, and has a very important but brief cameo in The Batman this year. I think I might have been the only.
I still haven't seen that yet. So
someone who doesn't want the darkness might not be, maybe after Christmas, but but I think Adam Richard and I think we were the two who were like, oh, Rupert in the cinema. So a very charming man as well. So that's a great pick, I reckon.
I mean, if he didn't have his kind of Twilight baggage, then, Robert Pattinson is, older.
I don't think he has that anymore. I think that's well and truly gone with all the movie choices he's made over the years.
But I want Tenet Pattinson. That's the one I want. That's
absolutely
the version of him that I want. I want that sort of slightly loose and that's, I could make him a romance hero tomorrow.
Oh man, I would be totally up for that.
But also, what's his name? The the chap who plays the protagonist.
Oh, John David Washington.
John David Washington, yeah.
Yeah.
See, again, I mean, he's got all of the elements of a real kind of romance movie hero.
Yeah.
Or just a general romance hero, because he's got integrity, you know, he's smart, and he's one of the best things about that film for me is his kind of non-sexual relationship.
Yeah.
With Elizabeth, what's her name?
So I'm hopeless
for the names. You know, he's got such integrity.
Yeah.
And you know, sort of, it's all about selflessness. There's nothing in it for him.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
To help her. There are so many times that he could have just, you know, a different character would have just exploited her completely for what he needed.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that sort of that real sort of heart to him, and that real sort of sense of deep integrity and sort of, so that, I mean, that for me is catnip, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what you want at the end of the day. That's what you want, is you want a decent, decent person.
Yeah.
And at the heart of the story, with whatever drama they've got going on and whatever backstory and whatever difficulties they've got, the root core of all of these characters is that they are, you know, they are genuine, decent people who are just trying to do their best in life.
Yeah. I love that as well.
It makes people relatable, doesn't it? And makes characters relatable. But yeah, everybody's a romance. Everybody I'm looking at when I'm watching them, I'm like, I'm recasting them in my head. And those are the things that attract me to the character, because that's what I'm interested in. And for me, it's about the personal relationships, and it's about. So any of them, I would be happy. I could.
Yeah.
Happily cast any of those
cast in your film. This is great. So we were going to just have some fun, because it's the end of the year. We were going to come up with our own Christmas idea, our own Christmas novel and plot. So before we start, what are the rules that we have to adhere to? What are the beats that we have to hit before we can go any further?
You have to know who the people are. You have to know what motivates them, what their backstory is, even if it's not all on the page. We have to know who these people are. We have to know what drives them, what their motivations are, what their ambitions are, and how we're going to help them through the story and through the relationship kind of grow and move forward, so that as they come out the other end of the story, they're in a better place, and that they're, you know, whether it's a personal resolution or it's a confidence issue or whatever it is, it's not about somebody coming in and rescuing the other person and fixing all their problems. It's about partnership. My stories are always about partnerships. It's about how, you know, the best of two people come together and make each other stronger. And it's not about, you know, as I said, it's not about someone coming in and swooping in and like the old kind of knight in shining armor. I'm not into that at all. I don't think anybody, you know, that's not really, that's a really old fashioned trope. It's about, and it's about sort of personal growth and as much as it is about the relationship, it's about your own, each character's relationship with themselves.
Yeah.
And coming to terms and coming to peace with who they are, because I think that's something that we do normally at the age that I sort of, my characters are sort of in their mid to late 20s. I have written older ones as well, but that's where you kind of settle into who you are as a person, I think, and you kind of, you know, you go from being influenced by your family and your friends so much, and you sort of start to build your own kind of integrity map, if that makes sense. And it's about your own personal comfort with yourself, you know, and how you're going to move forward and how you're going to live your life and what those choices are. And it's finding somebody that complements those rather than compromises what you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess someone who compromises is, you know, the antagonist.
Yeah, I mean, we all, you know, there are things that perhaps we sort of give up, but it has to be a give and take thing. It's not a, you know, I'm giving up everything for love. It's not about that. It's about, you know, what finding what's really important to you and where you want to move forward to. Setting is the main thing, really. Where are we? What's going on? Because particularly with Christmas, are we in a big city? Are we in London? Are we in New York, where, you know, you can do all the, you know, so, or are you in a little small town where you can create your own community? Or are we, like I was talking about before, about a big country house, you know, so you can imagine what that would be like with big roaring open fires and, you know, lots of sort of snowy landscapes and big Christmas tree and much more sort of traditional type things. So that's, you know, that's what we have to do, really, is setting characters, what their motivations are, how we get them together in the first place, what their conflict is going to be. Is it going to be an internal conflict? Is it an external conflict? Is it a mix of both? And we end up with a happy ending. So
right.
It's easy.
So it's, yeah.
Let's go.
So before we... So in Australia, that is a completely... Christmas is a completely different time, yes. Experience, of course. Mm. And has there ever been an Australian Christmas story that you've read, or would you ever think about, like, does it kind of, like, is that something that's a little bit too alien to the genre? Because here it would be big blue skies and it's really hot and there's no roaring fire. There's all the fans and the air conditioning on and people are wearing shorts.
I mean, I think that that's something perfect to give people a new experience. But, you know, because it's not something I've done before.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, without coming over and, you know, I've got family over there. So maybe if I come over and do an Australian Christmas, then it would be something that I could write about
and claim the holiday on tax as well, right?
Yeah.
If you came over.
Yeah, well, I don't think I can quite get away with that.
Yeah, maybe.
I could try. I don't think I'd get away with it. But yeah, I mean, some people set sort of holiday stories in sort of like holiday resorts and things like that, or you know, like Caribbean cruises are really popular at Christmas time. Caribbean holidays, people want to get away, so you can do an alternate, you know, a completely different location, so because sometimes that's what people want, don't they? If they're sort of at home and they're you know, it's freezing cold, sometimes it would be nice to kind of picture yourself on, you know, in Hawaii or somewhere like that, or in Antigua, and that you're having a cocktail and, you know, let's go down to the beach and have a barbecue or whatever, or in Australia or something like that. So no, there's no limits. I mean, I would tend to write about what I know and what I can imagine and you know, to make it sort of authentic, really.
So where do you want to set our story then?
Well, I'm always going to go small town I love that because it's you can build a really nice community there. And that's what draws people in. So
how small is our town?
Oh, kind of, it's bigger in the summer because it gets lots of visitors, but when it comes to the winter, it kind of really closes in on itself, and you've just got that sort of small community. Let's go on the coast, because I love a walk on the beach.
Great.
A different walk to you on the beach, but all wrapped up in coats and scarves and, you know, the wind blowing and a bright blue sky and things like that. That's a lovely kind of... That's a nice scene that you can do. It's all about, you know, what scenes can you create? What, you know, what can we draw? And, you know, how can we sort of draw people into the story and different locations and move people around in the location so that they get to know it? So, yeah.
Okay, I like that. I like the idea of a small town. Maybe it's been busy as well, so there's a bit of exhaling. Oh, everyone's kind of left and now we can just...
It's the end of the season and it's now everybody's gone. So it's a bit, you know, it's a holiday resort or whatever in the summer. And now you get your town back. You get your, you know, you get your kind of community back. All the, you know, all the hordes have gone and you know, it's, yeah.
I like that. That's great. Okay, so who's going to be our lead? Is it going to be a man or a woman?
Well, I always do dual point of view, so it's both.
Ah, so we'll do both. Great.
But all it right. depends who, but you have to decide whether they both live there, so they're already familiar with each other, they're already part of the community, or if one of them needs to be based there, I think, to kind of draw the friends and family from.
So who do you think?
Then you have to have a reason for the other person to come in.
Okay. So what about, so shall we, what's more interesting, do you think, to have the female lead be from the town or the male lead?
Well, I think that you can do it either way, but I think sometimes it's more interesting that you would kind of flip the trope.
Yeah.
So that the female lead is, you know, the person who's sort of dashing in and dashing out, and yeah, the male right. is the one who's got, he's got all the family, he's got all the community.
Yeah.
So it could be that the female lead is, you know, is a busy executive or something like that. They're a high-powered yeah. lawyer or whatever, but they've got a short space of time, and they're doing an obligatory visit to an old maiden aunt or something like that, that, you know, so they don't really want to come. They've got things that they want to do. They've got sort of friends and parties and yeah. stuff that they want to do. But a family obligation means that they've come back to the village. And so maybe they've got a connection to it that is somewhere that they used to come when they were a kid and sort of came and did like summer holidays and things like that.
Yeah, great.
So there's some familiarity with it, but.
What about, I like the idea of visiting aunt and uncle who are getting on in age. And how about she is, so we're not calling her she, what name do we want to give her?
Oh, I'm hopeless with names.
Okay, let's call her Caitlin. Is that okay?
That works, yeah.
Okay, so Caitlin is, mid-30s, and maybe she runs a chain of bookstores. So she's in our interest, but it's, we don't really like that it's a chain.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's kind of, so she's a big manager. Yeah, so she's got a corporate role or something like that. Or,
yeah. So it's books, so, you know, we like her, but it's a chain of bookstores that's squeezing out the bookstores that we really love.
Yeah, it's like the Costa Coffee of bookshops.
Yes. Yeah.
Starbucks. Yeah, Starbucks.
Starbucks. Let's call it Starbucks. This is great. Just that's enough that we won't get sued, will it?
We'll only get mildly sued.
Yeah, we'll make it pepper. No, what is it? We'll make it purple. We'll make it purple and white rather than green or white, just to make sure. So she's like mid-30s. All right. So our lead male, should we just give him like a solid male name like Tom?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I like a Tom.
Yeah. Tom's good. Same age, mid-30s?
Maybe just a little older.
A little older, yep, so late 30s.
Yeah.
And he lives in the town 12 months a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would his job be for, which would be perfect for this? Does he run the local bookstore?
He does, or her aunt and uncle run the local bookshop, and that's how come that's where she's got the love for it. But they're looking to retire, and maybe she's looking to, maybe he's got a business idea that he wants and he's looking to take over the space, and she's thinking, no, she can come in and stick a little corporate branch in there because she
has not Starbucks in the little town. Yeah, god damn it. Come on, Caitlin. What are you doing? Don't you realise what we're going to lose from it?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe he's got like a cafe or something like that, and Starbucks come in, and they also have like, they've always got a coffee shop within there, but, you know, it's sort of like a book and coffee shop. So she's going to be undermining his business as well. So you've got that kind of, that sort of Sleepless in Seattle kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of, what am I trying to think of? Yeah, so that's the tension between them, that's the pressure that, you know, he's going to drive her out of business. And
yeah. Man, already we've got some issues, because I'm guessing that they first meet and there's got to be something like a moment of attraction, and then very early on they realize what the other one wants, and so immediately that attraction seems to be push to one side, right?
Yeah, definitely. Great. So there could be like, you know, a bit of a party in the local pub. There's a bit of a or a Christmas quiz or something like that. So that's the first time that they meet. And
yeah, Christmas quiz. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's fun, isn't it? And you can already, you know, create an atmosphere that people will enjoy. It brings the community together. Yeah. It brings us a chance to introduce a few of the other characters in the community.
Yeah.
And set a nice atmosphere. And there's a bit of rivalry and a bit of flirting. You can do that. They're on tables next to each other.
Yeah.
And either they cheat a little bit and help each other out, or they get a bit competitive and, you know, and they're sort of bantering with each other and, you know, something like that. They've sort of swapped the quiz questions afterwards. So you've got an interaction between them.
I love it.
And neither of them understand, you know, who the other person is.
Maybe they kind of bond over some minutia of a question where they're kind of one-upping each other.
Well, they know the answer and they dispute it. They've both put the same answer down. And the quizmaster has got, you know, because sometimes you get those questions that are, that actually, no, that's not the right answer, but everybody thinks it's the right answer, and there's a big dispute, and so they sort of bond over that. That's
And also we get a little bit of comedy in there as well, because we can set the quizmaster up to be someone who takes their job very seriously every year, and they are. They're never called out. And
it's
so
their way. Yeah, it's absolutely their rules. It's 100%. And everybody knows the rules, but she doesn't know the rules because she's new to, you know, she's a visitor from the outside. So,
when she
challenges him, then it's a big, like, you know, a big sort of gasp moment, and everybody's shocked. And,
And Tom finds it thrilling. Like, he's like, oh, who is this? You know? And so there's that kind of immediate kind of sparkle. Maybe he supports it because he's always towed the party line. And then maybe there's always been questions wrong and no one's.
Yes.
And it's kind of the unspoken
and
it's
driven law. Him mad, and he's finally going to be.
Yeah. God damn this quizmaster. Anyway, I've got to be honest, I'm loving this quizmaster. They're already turning out to be hilarious to me.
Yeah. But that's the great thing, is you need these little side characters. You need these personalities that that really kind of flesh out your community.
Yes, and I'm guessing like the quizmaster is, you know, like they do one quiz a year. They've got the title of quizmaster, but then throughout the year, they've got another job, but they're still referred to the Quizmaster because they
somebody that takes themselves a little bit too seriously and sort of rests a little on their dignity and things like that. So yeah, so they're the local head of the school governors or something like that.
Yeah.
He's got a little. Or yeah. He's a local councillor or something. He's got a community position.
Yeah.
And he likes the tiny bit of power that comes with it just a little bit too much.
I love everything about this Quizmaster, especially the bit where I'm finding him already annoying. But because you can just picture those kinds of people, can't you? Exactly. Like everyone has them. So,
well, exactly. So, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's about making characters relatable and giving yourself these light moments and these comic moments. But everybody will know when they meet this character on the page, they'll be like, yeah, I know. They know someone like that. They've met someone like that. Even if we've slightly exaggerated the situation, it's still a believable person. It's still, it's still something that that people recognise that situation and can relate to it. So
So Caitlin has come home to see her auntie and uncle, who are getting out of the bookstore business. They're ready to just, be retired in the village and just, hang out. And she's coming back with a proposal for Starbucks.
You love that, don't you?
I love it. It's great. It's so tasty. And Tom, who runs the local cafe and, does a lot of stuff in the community. But is also, we've already set in this quiz, is a little bit exasperated with aspects of it, but is now seeing that she's going to bring in this Starbucks. And so this is, it's going to gentrify the community in a small way. And he's worried that this will lead to, you bring in a Starbucks and then suddenly you've got a McDougal's coming in. and she just can't really see the issue with this because this would be good because, she runs these things. She knows how they work.
Well, and if she can make this work, then, there'll be resorts up and down the country where, it's a new expansion. It's a new proposal that she can, maybe she's under pressure in her job to, to deliver something new and to come up with a new proposal and a new expansion for that business. And, she's like, if she can get this to work, then it's something that she can see expanding.
Yeah. She's her boss in, we'll just get a couple of conversations with her boss on Zoom, and her boss is called Hugh Grant, and it's played by Colin Firth, but he's playing a character called Hugh Grant. So we'll flip it. I've got to be honest, I'm loving all of this.
But then we understand her. We understand that she's not just about, it's about her job. It's about her future. Yes. It's about her career. She's got, that's her stake. It's not just, she's not just a corporate beast.
Yeah.
This is about her being able to prove herself, in the corporate world and her job's on the line. She's got to deliver. If her department are struggling and, that they're looking to make cuts and they're looking to make redundancies, then, that's immediately, we've got a, even if we don't agree with what she's trying to do, we've got a sympathetic connection to her because we understand, she's not just greedy and it's not all about the money. It's about, it's about her job and it's about, and if she hasn't got a job, then, maybe she's been helping her aunt and uncle out financially and actually, she's been propping them up for a while and things like that.
Yes.
So she understands that, she's got an obligation to them. And so it's not just about her. It's about her being able to help them and make sure that they've got a comfortable life and things like that as well. So
Oh, man, Caitlin, this is
see
tough.
How you're feeling for Caitlin now, aren't
I
you?
I am. I feel a lot of affection for Caitlin. And, she has been propping up that bookstore and she hasn't asked, nobody knows. She's been doing it on the sly and she really believes that she's helping out. And, and she is in a situation where the Hugh Grant, who looks like Colin Firth, is being a real pain in the ass about this. Yep. So, all right. I love all of this so far. How many supporting characters do you need for something like this? Is this something where you would like a small supporting cast, or would you prefer a broader, so we're meeting lots of different characters throughout?
I think that when you've got sort of public places, so you've got sort of like, so you've got the pub, so we'll have met a few people in the pub.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be, you don't have to have, you know, 20 or 30 named characters, but you need to kind of flesh them out a little bit. Maybe there's a book club that meets in the bookshop.
Oh, great. Yeah, so we've got
maybe
the pub.
Maybe there's a book club, but they use Tom's Cafe.
Yep.
And they meet in there, but, so there's a connection there. So you've got a little group of people, and you can put lots of different characters into a book club.
Yeah.
And I like, I always like a busybody.
Oh, yes.
I always like a busybody because they're brilliant, because they know everybody's business. They're a really great way that you can kind of drive the plot forward, because they're the one, they'll come in with a bit of key information.
Yeah.
So the busybody will maybe know, well, you know, she'll come into Tom's Cafe and be like, well, you do know that Caitlin, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. This is what she does. And
yeah.
And then he's kind of like, oh, so he then knows who she is. But she hasn't necessarily given him forth that information. So then you've got that sort of bit of...
lots of assumptions as well.
Absolutely.
Right?
And why hasn't she told him? And, you know, so then he's immediately suspicious of her, but she doesn't, you know, she's just trying to get away from, you know, being that person in the office. She just wants to be, you know, whatever their names are.
Yep, Caitlin.
Bill and Betty's niece.
Oh,
or whatever.
She's
just there, you know, she just wants to be part, she just wants to kind of be part of the family and be part of a community and reminisce a bit about, because she remembers what it was like when she was there as a kid.
Yep.
And she wants to recapture a bit of that magic, maybe, you know,
yep.
and a bit of escapism for her, that this is, you know, Bill and Betty are getting on, and this is going to be one of the, you know, she's suddenly realizing, you know, their mortality. So she wants to make it a really special Christmas for them and a special Christmas for her, and make some memories. And thinks that she's sort of sneaking around on the sly, and, you know, why isn't she telling people what she's doing? And, you know, so lots of assumptions and secrets and things like that. And so
can
bring in some tension. So,
yeah. So, you know, our busybody, I'm guessing you, at some point, watch Neighbours in the UK.
Yeah.
So can we call her Ms. Mangles? Can we do a Neighbours shout out to Mrs. Mangles?
Absolutely.
But we'll make her a Ms. We've updated her. Ms. Mangles.
And she runs the book club, because she's an organiser and she gets people together. And
mate, she definitely runs the book club. Maybe Mr. Mangles is the quiz master.
Maybe he is. Colonel Mangles, retired.
Colonel, yes, Colonel Mangles. Oh my God, what a stroke of genius! Colonel Mangles and his wife Ms. Mangles is so funny. This is great. So what does Caitlin learn about Tom from Ms. Mangles? That, you know, because if he's learning that she runs Starbucks and is looking to expand, and that puts him on the back foot, there's got to be something about him that she, that Caitlin learns, that through the sphere or prism of Ms. Mangles puts her on the back foot.
Maybe he's a single parent.
Great.
So then there's extra stakes with that, because it's not just him and it's not his business. It's about his family. He's got a family to support, and
a daughter.
You know.
Great. So it may be, in some ways, the daughter can kind of remind Caitlin of her time there as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So she can see that same echo. And then she's also looking at her and thinking, well, you know, what's her future in a small town like that? You know, where are the jobs? What's she going to do? You know, is she going to be like Caitlin and have to move away so that she can achieve her dreams? And maybe that's something that Caitlin's looking at as well, that, you know, how can she secure the future for people? And can she look at sort of doing training and apprenticeships and things like that through her sort of through her Starbucks shop? And
yeah,
because if you look at somewhere like although I know lots of people sort of mock like McDonald's, they actually have an amazing kind of management training program.
Yes, you know, those places, you know, there's, I understand the broad strokes of negativity towards them, but often for people who don't have opportunities, like, funnily enough, the basketballer Magic Johnson bought a stake in Starbucks and opened it up in a lot of lower economic suburbs, which gave people from those areas an opportunity to learn business skills and to have jobs. So it's those things are tricky, and we want that trickiness to be reflected in our story.
Yeah. So, yeah, so maybe that's her other angle as well, that, you know, she can do both things, that she can actually, so she doesn't see it as a corporate takeover. She sees it as investment in the town and bringing something in and bringing more jobs in and more opportunities. And she's already seeing that she could use that, you know, she could use that branch as a pipeline for, you know, apprenticeships and training and you know, teaching kids about bookkeeping and that kind of, you know, we can sort of think about that a bit more, but you can sort of expand on that. So there is, you know, she's thinking about the community. It's not, you know, so he's like, you know, ugh, corporate hideous.
Yeah.
You know, all the assumptions that you make about it, but actually bigger picture is, you know, more community investment, more development. Is there also something that she could then persuade some sort of partnership and sponsorship if there's the need of something else in the community that they can do, sort of pairing up with something with the local school, you know, maybe Starbucks do a thing where, you know, they provide free textbooks for students at schools and things like that. We can make them a nice corporate giant. We can do what we want, because it's a, you know, we can create an idealized world, and that's what we're looking to do. Is it doesn't all have to be about, you know, it doesn't all have to be about the profit and the bottom line. So
that makes it a more interesting story, doesn't it? Because this is a corporate bookstore that is altruistic in many of its goals, and is aware, but Tom's issue is that it is, you know, you're just eating away at what makes the town the town. And soon it'll be like many pubs all over the country, where you go in and it's like the tables are there, that's the same furniture, that's the same flat screen TV, that's the same menu. Special, that's the same covers band singing the same songs, and that's what he's afraid of. I've given the daughter the name Annie. I don't know why. While you were talking, I just wrote down Annie. Is that okay?
That's fine. That works for me.
And maybe Annie is about 11 years old, and she wants to grow up to be a writer, and that's what he's encouraging. But Caitlin, who's
so
out there,
so she's hanging around in the bookshop all the time because she loves reading, and so she's in there.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the first time that. So maybe the first time Caitlin and Annie meet.
Oh yes, she doesn't know
who she is. Yeah, fantastic. She doesn't know that she's Tom's daughter, and they've already, because she was a bookworm when she was a kid. So
yes,
they've already formed a little bond themselves. And
and Caitlin, because she lives in you know, the big city, is a little bit more practical. So she's introducing, you know, practical ideas and things that Annie would have to learn, and Tom's not on board with this. He just wants
to. No, then she goes home and she's all like, blah, 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 blah. Well, this and that and the other, and Caitlin this and Caitlin that and Caitlin the other. And Tom's like, hang on a minute.
Yeah. What's, you know, it's just the two of us.
Hmm.
you know, and
they've been a team for a long time, and and then he's also coming to come to terms with the fact that, you know, she's gonna grow up and she's gonna want her own life and she's gonna move away.
Oh no, Tom, you know, it's Tom. A lot. Oh, Tom.
We're going to have to write this book, you know.
Oh, man, this is great. I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving this. So what's the main thing stopping them from being together? You know, because there's that obvious attraction at the quiz show. Then there's, you know, a little bit around town. But now, you know, Annie's learning this corporate talk. Then he's suddenly discovering that she wants to bring in Starbucks. And, you know, he's against that. We've got Ms. Mangles and the Colonel.
Causing all sorts of trouble.
Like, yeah, maybe, like, is this, look, you tell me if this is too much, but do Ms. Mangles and the Colonel from 11 till 1 do a local community radio show that's just essentially them gossiping?
I could get on board with that. I could absolutely get on board with that. That's brilliant.
Ms. Mangles and the Colonel, 11 till 1, Monday to Friday, and it's just Ms. Mangles talking and the Colonel coming in and going, yeah. Just backing things up. Nah, you're right.
And he's got a trivia fact of the day. That's his moment that he shines.
Yes.
He gets like a minute to talk about his trivia fact of the day.
That's it. Maybe that could be, you know, so we'll have turning points. Like we'll dip into the radio show every now and again. And hang on a sec. Okay.
You could have that. You could have that as the opening chapter.
Oh, great. That's where
every
we open.
Bit, the opening of every chapter.
Yes. In italics.
It's a little bit of the Mangles show. The Mangles morning show.
The Mangles morning show with Ms. Mangles and the Colonel. Oh, far out. This is so entertaining. So the Mangles morning show starts off every chapter, and so I have an idea, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So what's the main problem? So the main problem is we only need the one kind of main problem, don't we? Which is she wants to bring Starbucks. Caitlin wants to bring Starbucks in. Tom doesn't want that.
But you've also got the tension as well that, you know, she's never seen herself as somebody that wants to have children. She's made her choices. She's happy with her sort of her dating life and things like that. You know, so that's another thing as well, that it's not just Tom, it's Tom and Annie. They come as a package, though.
Yeah.
Is that something that she's got room in her life for? Is it something she's willing to make room in her life for?
Yeah.
And it puts the stakes up for both of them.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you can just have a fling and forget about it. Or if it doesn't, you know, you're both grown ups, and if it doesn't work out, you can sort of, you know, walk away. You've suddenly got the stakes are suddenly that much higher because you've got, you know, a little girl who she's already formed an attachment for Caitlin. And then if, you know, there's all that extra.
Yeah. And Tom has not been, like, Tom obviously hasn't been dating because, you know, something, the wife is no longer there. He doesn't really talk about it. Maybe it's the one thing the town doesn't gossip about.
Maybe.
Even Miss Mangles draws a line.
Even Miss Mangles, yes. Yeah,
so that way, you know, because we don't want Miss Mangles to be awful, but she is that's her line. That's the one thing she won't talk about, which Caitlin is completely bamboozled by because she's heard everything about everyone. And then she draws the line.
Yeah.
So do we find out, or we don't need to find out what happened to the mum? We can just hint at it?
I think, you know, it depends. We can think about it, and I won't, for me personally, while I'm writing it, I wouldn't know until I'm well into it.
Yeah,
and then
right.
It would, as I'm more into it and I'm really into the heart of the characters, then it would come to me, you know, there would be,
yeah,
you know, whether there was a whether she was awful and she ran away, or yeah. whether she was ill, or whether she had an accident, or
yeah.
or whatever it is, you know. But that's, yeah, I don't know that I can't. That's not something that I can quite. There's something, yeah. but until I've written in my way into it, then
yes.
then
we
I don't there's... have everything on the page before I start, yeah. kind of thing.
Yeah, we know there's something there.
Yes,
but and eventually we would get to that. Yeah. So, so we're so we want them to end up together.
We do.
What are we building towards? Like, is there an event? Is there a town voting? Is there three quiz nights over the course of December? And each we have the first quiz night, which is where they meet and there's an attraction. The second quiz night where there is a falling out and everything's cold and frosty. And then the third quiz night is...
A New Year's Eve one.
A New Year's Eve one, where they kind of realize how they feel about each other. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's good. And then that gives us like
yeah, so you have
a big
Year's
event
Eve.
With everyone there.
Yeah, you have a New Year's Eve quiz, and then yeah. it's a big party.
Yeah.
And then he asks her to come outside for a minute, and then they go for a walk on the beach, and it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
And it starts to snow.
Oh, nice.
And you've got all the noise in the background and all the yeah. Christmas songs and everything coming out of the door of the pub, and it's just the two of them in their little isolation, and that's
yeah.
when they have their heart-to-heart.
Yeah. So I had an idea.
I always have yes. the ending.
I don't know how we're going to get there quite yet, because what we want, so we want to find maybe because this is our story and this is the nicest corporate entity that ever existed. Maybe I don't know how we get there just yet, but maybe the resolution is Starbucks is going to invest in the bookstore, but keep it branded as Betty and Bill's.
Yes.
So then, you know, good money props it up. They can, you know, little Annie can learn skills that will help her when she gets older to, you know, be able to look after herself and look out for things and not get ripped off.
Yeah, so the deal is that they'll just keep it as the bookshop, but they'll also do some other stuff, and maybe they'll bring in like an adult training program and a retraining yes. program. So yeah. she'll sort of bring the business in, but they'll do it with a slight twist. So it's kind yeah. of, and then that is something that you could expand into other rural communities and other sort of, you know, it's going to be a community yeah. hub, but it's not the cafe bit, because then that doesn't threaten Tom's business. He's still got his business that runs, but it's you yeah. So you can kind of do something like that. So they
come up with this plan, and then we can have a little Zoom meeting where they pitch it to Hugh Grant, who's played by Colin Firth, and
yeah.
and there's a moment where they think maybe the link has glitched, because they're getting no response, and then they see him sigh and they go, oh no, he hates the idea. And then we have a nice moment where he says, you know,
and
what
then we get,
I
and then
love
we
it
get, and then we get his sad backstory about how, you know, he grew up in a similar Christ. environment, and
yes.
you know, he'd wished he had something like that, and yada yada yada, and yeah
fantastic. All right,
and then
that's
we find
great.
Out that everybody's, you know,
so
everybody's all the same inside.
So the big idea that I was very excited about is, in a way, Ms. Mangles and the Colonel are set up as our, you know, as our nominal, like, not bad guys, but, you know, they're just kind of annoying, and they're always, you know, she's gossiping and he's getting quiz facts slightly wrong, but is not to be questioned because he's the Colonel. And but he barely ever talks. He only ever talks about quiz stuff. And then maybe the thing that brings them together is the Colonel finally speaks, and not about quizzes, but why he loves Ms. Mangles. And we.
So how about this? The Colonel and Ms. Mangles.
Yeah.
Are Tom's in-laws.
Oh, great. Great.
And the quizzing and the, you know, she's busy in everybody else's business because it's her way of kind of deflecting and him and his quizzing and his slightly obsessional behavior with that is, again, his way of kind of, you know, locking himself away and locking his feelings away and,
great,
and things like that. So you've got that emotional tension as well, that, you know, one of the reasons that Tom puts up with them is because, you know, of that connection, and he knows why they are the way they are, and the people in the community also, you know. So if Caitlin's exasperated with them and is like, you know, why do people put up with this? It's because, and everybody in the community understands that this is a coping mechanism for the two of them. So it gives them, you know, they've got more leeway with people and things like that. So
So everyone learns lessons, and it's all beautiful and it's heaps of fun. And I desperately want to hear this radio show. All right. And so what, and we need a title. What do we, is it When You Wish Upon a Starbucks? Is it Quizzing All the Way? Is it?
Well, quite like that.
Because we've got our quiz. Festival of Trivia.
I'm rubbish at titles. It takes me ages to do titles.
Oh, man, it's hard.
But no, I think working title, Quizzing All the Way.
Quizzing All the Way. Mate, I've got to be honest. This
When You Quiz Upon a Star.
When You Quiz Upon a Star Books. When You Quiz Upon a Star. No, we don't need Star Books in it. When You Quiz Upon a Star is... yeah, that's our working title. And we will be setting up a Kickstarter for anyone who wants us to co-write this. Start putting money in and we will be good to go. I love this. I think this is fantastic. And what if, like, it's so much fun, isn't it? Just trying to come up with
this. This is our podcast feature for next year.
Yes.
You're the Colonel and I'm Ms. Mangles and we do a little radio.
And I get quiz questions just slightly wrong. Just slightly wrong. And no one's allowed to tell me that I'm wrong because I'm the quiz master and I'm the Colonel. this is great. This has been so much fun. And, you know, I think we, after our first chat, we threw this up as an idea. And I've been looking forward to this. And then for everyone listening, I was like, when are you around? And there was just like this little window. And I was like, we are going to make this happen. And this is everything I wanted it to be. This is so fantastic. And what a great way to finish the year. Talking about this, so thank you very much, and I love the insight as well. I love going into this world and learning more about it and the tropes
and how we put it together what we're looking for tension it's been great. I tell you, I'm just about to start my next book, so when I'm stuck, I'm going to be.
Oh, yeah, feel free to dip into any of this.
We'll have to brainstorm some more stuff.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I genuinely love it. A friend of mine is having to record, film some film clips, and I was like, oh, if you need any help, and she was like, what type of help? I said, just, like, if you want to play me the song, and we'll just throw some ideas around. It's my favourite part of the creative process. So, so you have a Christmas book out at the moment. What was the title of that again?
That's called Happy Endings at Mermaid's Point.
Yes, and that's the final in this series, is that right?
Yeah, but it can be read. All my books, you should be able to pick them up and enjoy them as a standalone.
Yeah, great.
And that is currently, if anybody's got Prime, it's on Amazon Prime. So you can grab it that way if you want to give it a go. As I say, I've already dropped the link in the Facebook group for people about the one. But again, I don't know how long that's going to be on for free. So if it's not, then I'm sorry, but it's only a novella. So it's only ever going to be like 99 cents or 99p or whatever. Yeah. So it's not going to break the bank. And it'll be it's in Kindle Unlimited if anybody's got that as well. So
Great. And people can join. the Big Fish community page on Facebook. Just anyone who's coming to join, just answer the questions, because you don't have to put too much thought to them, but that's how I know you're real. People who don't answer the questions, you're there going, are you a bot?
That was me. And I was like, I haven't worked. Hang on a minute. I haven't done season one. I don't know what you're talking about. My responses to that when I was in there was like, I have no idea what this is about.
No, that was great. That's a human response. It's the bots that I'm trying to catch out. Where can people find you on the socials, and therefore they'll be able to find your work as well?
I'm on Facebook. I'm Sarah Bennett, author.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter. I'm Sarah_Lou_Wright. I'm on Instagram, Sarah_Bennett, author. That's normally, I'm on there with, have you seen my post today?
No, not today.
Oh my God. Oh, don't. You have to go and have a look. We picked up this ridiculous little snowman decoration while we were away on our trip.
Great.
Who just happened to have exactly the same bobble hat that I've got. So I've done the difference.
I will go and check it out. That sounds great.
Have a look at that. And I'll be around in the Facebook group as well. If anybody's got any questions, if anybody wants to come in and have a chat, wants romance recommendations, wants to talk Christmas movies with me, anything you like, then I'll be in there and I'll be happy to chat about anything anybody likes.
Oh, yeah. It's such a fun page. And, because things have been crazy busy, I try to keep an eye on things. And then when I get in, there's so much stuff and it's all fantastic. So I know, love
I'm
our
so behind
Facebook
and
page.
I've been a bit neglectful in there for a while, but I just was really busy writing my new book.
Yeah.
But I've got loads of my Christmas downtime is catching up on the pod and then I'll be going back through and catching up on all the discussions I've missed. So I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. Thanks for breaking down a story with me. And, I guess there's only one way to finish this podcast, but Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you to Sarah for being my final guest for season 6. Remember to check out her novels online. And if you're in the Big Squid secret Facebook community, you'll be able to find the links there. Maybe that novella is still free, but depending on when this comes out, I'm recording this the week before the 20th of December. So maybe it won't be, but even if it's not, as Sarah said, it's only 99p, which would barely buy the froth on a coffee, so you can get a whole novella. Thank you also to Cashier for being our Patreon supporter of the episode. There will be some bonus podcasts go up earlier in the new year on Patreon, so if you feel like you're missing us, you can find a tier that suits you and you can access those podcasts. There's also previous podcasts there as well, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can check out. And this brings me to the end of work for 2022, my God, what a year it's been. So I did some number crunching. And in the past year, I have helped produce 210 episodes of Australian television, 109 Big Squid podcasts. That includes the Patreon-only episodes, where I think there's like about 18 or something like that there. I've written and performed a brand new stand-up comedy show, appeared on stage with The Dollop and Hard Quiz for their tours. I've written 20 dispatches from the Fury Road blogs. I've written 3 beautiful tales for the Disenchanted short stories, and there's a bunch of other projects that I'm not ready to announce. That's not including being a guest on other podcasts, live gigs, and the work I've done with other comedians on their live stand-up shows. And as of this writing, although some of these numbers will go up before the very end of the year, as I said, I'm recording this on the 15th of December. But I had a little check and I've watched, as of today, 100 movies, 33 TV shows, and 2 others I didn't bother finishing. I was so bored with them. Can you guess which ones they are? Let me know. I've read 18 books and graphic novels and countless scripts. And of course, that doesn't include articles, news reports, and the many podcasts that I've listened to. And along with that, I've also had some major challenges. Like, I think we're all in that boat, and we've all had kind of different challenges. I've had friends in terrible situations where they have needed support. In the span of 11 weeks, I had COVID, then the flu, and then COVID again. I've lent my ear to people who needed it. I've given a shoulder to let friends rest on, and I've done my best to give good advice and comfort people who needed it at that time. This year has been a challenge, and I know there are people out there who are in genuine pain. So if I could help alleviate that in any way, then I was willing to do whatever I could, whether it was one-on-one discussions or if this podcast gave you some company at tough times. I also turned 50. That's crazy, and produced a long weekend in Adelaide with the live Big Squid show and a small party with dear friends, and that was an absolute hoot. And it reminded me, after spending the past two birthdays alone, it is indeed much better to celebrate with those who love you. So it's been a big year, and as I said, at times challenging, but for me, it has also been incredibly rewarding. I have some space now to relax, recharge, see some family and gear up for 2023. And I have some goals that I want to hit next year. And I also have some space to hopefully make that happen. Nothing is guaranteed in show business, so you must take your opportunities when they present themselves. And so I plan to hit the new year running, and this break is going to be important to help set me up to do that. Just recharge, daydream a little bit. You know how I feel about daydreaming, and come back fresh. And, you know, new ideas for the podcast, new goals. I've already recorded the first Space Podyssey with Ben for 2023. Do I tell you which movie it is? Yeah, why not? It's Christmas. We've recorded a podcast about Arnold Schwarzenegger's Total Recall. So, yes, and that ends up being a fun chat, and maybe a little bit controversial as well. There you go, a little tasty forward sell for you to keep an eye out for that. So we will be back with a lot of guests and a lot more podcasts for you. Most importantly, I want to thank you. This podcast is an absolute joy to produce, and whether you're a Patreon subscriber or someone who just tunes in for certain episodes, I appreciate all of you for taking the time to listen. I've been told by people in the know that my podcast would find a broader range of listeners and fans if I made it about just one thing. People love to give advice, don't they? And, oh yeah, I just thought I'd tell you this, and you go, great. Didn't ask for it. But, you know, I know you're trying to help. But look, to be honest, I think that advice misses the point. I don't want more listeners who only want Space Podyssey episodes or interviews with comedians. The brand for me of this podcast, and I hate that word, but it's, you know, useful at this point. The brand of this podcast is that it is about the guests and what they're passionate about. And I believe that is what you enjoy the most. Where else can you find a podcast that will interview an award-winning New York Times author in Chris Herring about his book on the New York Knicks in the 90s, then hear my mate Garth Jones and I talk about an 80s movie called Stunt Rock, then welcome Georgia Mooney to talk music, and then finish the year with Sarah Bennett discussing romance novels? This is a podcast that will break down obscure science fiction movies with Ben Elwood one week, give you a short story with beautiful tales for The Disenchanted the next week, and have a quiz star like Brian Coverdale talking about the day that time skipped. I wouldn't change anything about this podcast because it is a perfect representation of my broad interests, and I just love hearing people talk passionately about what they're experiencing. And I love the emails I receive. Like, I receive so many nice messages from you where it's like, after Rove's been on talking about Doctor Who, and I get people who consider themselves Whovians, and then I get people getting in touch with me saying, you know what, I'm going to start watching Doctor Who, where should I start? And then I get people writing to me who say, I don't have any interest in Doctor Who, but I love listening to the two of you talk about it. And that to me is an absolute win. I love those of you who desperately encourage me to watch certain Marvel TV shows I have no interest in. I love those of you who think Black Adam is a masterpiece, and I appreciate that you share with me why you think that. I love those of you who love things that I don't and then encourage me to check them out. And that's the point of this podcast. It's about passion. And it's about not being afraid to love what you love, even if you're completely wrong about Black Adam. Like, come on. Come on. What are you doing? You're better than that. It's the only movie I walked out of this year where I thought, fuck, I'm concussed. I'm going to have to go to hospital. What's happened? Better not go to sleep. Could go into a coma. Anyway, thank you for being a part of this community. I appreciate any time you give to me, to my friends, to the work that goes into this podcast, and your passion feeds right back into the work that I produce here. So this podcast is about you, and I hope you have a wonderful festive season surrounded by loved ones and people who are as passionate about life as you. Big Squid will be back for season 7. Yes. Don't know why I sounded a little bit like Alexi when I said that. Oh, we'll be back for season 7. That will be back around mid to late January, so keep an eye on the Big Squid Signal, whether on the socials or through Patreon. Let's finish off the year with a quote from Maya Angelou. My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. Goodbye, 2022. I will see you again in 2023. Until then.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.